This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We kick off hour number two of the program live from the Fan Run studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Appreciate you listening. If you missed hour one, you can always check out the podcast. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes when we get those directly to your device.
It's official.
Yeah?
Texas and Oklahoma.
I mean, that's been the biggest thing going this summer
for football.
Happened fast, too.
Greg Sankey sees something he likes. He doesn't wait around.
I'm just glad I could help.
Doing your part.
It's your birthday. I'm going to refrain. Ooh, goodness. Clemson cornerback Fred Davis has been charged after driving 115 miles an hour in a 55 zone and causing a crash that injured a postal worker. He was released on bond. 115 in a 55?
Goodness gracious. That is,
I mean,
not good, Bob.
That's cooking. That is.
I look forward to seeing them tie that back to a dealership in the area.
Oh. Come on, man. Can't do that. Speaking of NIL, though, today John Fulkerson will be at a Pals meeting greeting. Makes sense. Good for John. You think they're naming something on the menu after him? They have to now, right?
Oh, yeah. Got to, right?
Like the incredible place. Folk burger?
Can they just call it Folky Fries?
No, he needs a burger, man. Unless he has a special way he likes his fries.
See, like, fries are an asset you want, but you don't necessarily have to have. And I feel like based off his play the last couple of years, never exactly the star. I guess you could maybe make that case like 2 years ago, but he's a solid piece, and it's a solid part of the foundation you would want to have.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like fries would be a good compliment there.
Their fries are some of the best fries I've had.
Okay. See, so, I mean, they got some good fries.
Chance did not like their fries.
I've never ate there. I don't know what it tastes like, so.
Do you ever venture outside of, the bubble?
Yeah, but again, like I've told you, fast food's not necessarily something I partake a lot
in. Have you ever even seen a Pals?
Yes.
Okay.
Can't miss them.
That is true.
Coolest looking building.
The building reminds me of an old Nickelodeon cartoon.
Yeah.
In a good way. Nostalgia. I'm a fan.
Just feels like you're taking a stroll down memory lane.
Memory lane. Pals.
Strawberry milkshake. Incredible.
One of the best you've ever had.
Yeah, and I don't even like milkshakes.
Wow.
But I like their strawberry milkshake.
Is strawberry your go-to milkshake?
If I'm going to have to get a milkshake, oh yeah, strawberry.
What about you, Nate? What's your milkshake flavor of choice?
Chocolate.
Ugh, gross. How about you, Dave?
Probably a mint Oreo. It's a little out of the box.
Well, I thought we were going kind of.
Yeah, I was going with basic flavors, but mint Oreos
cookies actually. Cookies and cream, maybe?
Again, we're.
Yeah, that's
chocolate, strawberry. We're going of the Neapolitan.
Then chocolate.
Oh, you guys are weird. But in fairness, mint Oreo is my go-to. When I was in college.
You don't like chocolate?
Not in a milkshake. It's just too plain.
I made a pistachio milkshake.
All three of those options.
I thought it was vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry.
Yeah, all three
of
those options were plain.
Right, but one is a delicious fruit.
You like strawberry?
Yeah.
Out of those three?
Because it's vanilla and strawberry, really. So I get two flavors for the price of one.
I like strawberry, but I'm not picking any of those three if that's my options.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
The nice pink color to
it.
My son at Chick-fil-A ordered
manly
chocolate with two shots of strawberry.
Chocolate strawberry. Now, see, that's a cultured man right there.
It was pretty good.
You just got to get him on the frosted lemonade kick.
Frosted lemonade? He ordered...
Those are really good.
Yeah, at a restaurant, his drink of choice is lemonade, no ice.
I'm not a big ice guy.
I don't even know how that started. It's just the way it is.
Depends on the temperature of the drink coming out.
I've also learned when I'm ordering an alcoholic beverage, they say you're getting something kind of nice. They usually just try to load it up with ice to make you think you got a lot, but usually just
or to make sure it's really cold.
No, they don't want to give you that much alcohol. So
most of the pours, like, it's a recipe. It's like, you know, ounce and a half of this, ounce of this,
well, I know,
half ounce of that.
They don't care, but they're making it how they're told to make it for the most part. So okay, the recipe in and of itself usually calls for, hey, we're going to make sure we put a good amount of ice in here.
But if you get busted doing that, you're not going to sell many drinks. So yeah,
some
you might be getting
if it's a tourist trap though, like they'll kind of
do
that.
Disagree.
If you go up
disagree.
To Pigeon Forge or whatnot,
or they'll fill the nice liquor bottles with cheap liquor, yes. Charge you top shelf prices for bottom shelf booze. It's a shame. It's an outrage.
And illegal.
Hickman is correct. Very illegal to do that. You're stealing from the customer. Been watching a lot of Bar Rescue lately, so
yeah.
That's why I was going to argue a little bit with Dave on the old it's all ice thing. They get busted doing that, Dave. Customers will riot.
They'll end up on Bar Rescue.
They will.
Mm-hmm.
So are we excited about fall camp starting this week?
Yeah.
We geared up?
No.
You too, Hickman? Really? Why?
Nothing excites me until we actually kick off the first game of the season.
That you're lying. The day they announce who the starting quarterback is going to be, you're going to be giddy. You're going to be excited.
Maybe if it's Harrison Bailey.
And if it's not, that means somebody's better than Harrison Bailey. Won't that make you excited?
Yeah, I guess, but I really want to be Harrison Bailey.
Why do you want it to be Harrison Bailey and not just the best guy?
I mean, I think he is the best guy, and I think he's.
But if the coaches don't, you're going to disagree.
The most loyal to the program.
He's been here for 1 year.
Yeah, Davey. Look at transfer.
What about Brian Maurer? He's been loyal to the program.
Yeah, he's been here for a couple of years now.
Brian Maurer, I don't even know what's going on with that.
He's been making sure a lot of the guys get paid. I have to commend him for that, you know?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Okay.
What? That I commend him for that?
No, but how's he done that? How's Brian Maurer done that?
What do you mean, how's he done that? There's a reason he was suspended. I'm not saying he's doing it now. I'm saying
I thought you were making an NIL reference, but you weren't.
No, he was making a Brian Niedermeyer reference.
I got you.
Okay.
I've always said I wanted the TV show Brian and Brian.
How long do we think Heupel waits before announcing? Is he a week and a half, 2 weeks guy? Is it I don't know, the race is tight. Is it you'll know at game time on Thursday night?
I think he's a week out guy. Maybe week and a half.
Like game week out?
I think he'll announce it during the week before. Week before game week. So that he knows, so that going into game week, everybody knows who the starter is. You know, into the start of game week practice.
I think if all four had been here during spring practice, we would have probably have known in the second, like late second week. But I do think they're going to allow Joe Milton to play catch up a little bit. And I think you're right. I think it'll be week three-ish. But I think we're going to know.
I'm fine if they go with I know he said he probably wouldn't do a two quarterback system, but I could honestly see him trying out two at the beginning.
Well, you're going to definitely see two against Bowling Green. Maybe three. They're awful.
Do we see Jancic come in at wide receiver? That's what the people really want.
He's got the stats to back it up. Orange and white game MVP. That's another position I find fascinating.
Harrison Bailey was hitting him with dimes.
I know. Those are tough catches, too. What was that, Dave?
I was just thinking, you mentioned the orange and white game, and I was just going back and looking, and I still can't believe that one guy was trying to create a gambling model for college football based off how the Vols did in their orange and white game.
Wait, who?
Just a guy on Fall for Life Facebook, and I was actually trying to help him out.
What was his takeaways?
No. I think I talked about this. Yeah. He ended up just taking their star rating, and whichever star they had beside him, he just added up their stars and divided. And if we had a better star ranking than the defense of who we were playing with, he had us winning. But his big problem was he gave a walk-on that I think was maybe one or two stars, four stars automatically. So his numbers
were
already off from there. Mm-hmm. And then I told him, I was like, I could tell he's never done anything like this before. I was like, hey, man, like I'm just letting you know like this is not a good way of trying to predict what's going to happen. You need to use like actual data. I understand the Vols do not have a whole lot, but you're going to have to find some way to use game stats to create this. So then he goes and pulls stats from the orange and white game. And then like for Tennessee versus Florida. I was trying to do the orange and white game versus the orange and blue game or whatever they call it over there. And I was just like, come on, man. Like, I was like, all right. It's like, you do your thing.
Star rating. But giving them 4 stars.
You can't help them all, Davey. Just got to let go.
It's true. Nate's right.
I did. But, I mean, he seemed genuine in the beginning. And so, well, I mean, throughout the process, but he just didn't get it. And that's part of it, man. Like, some people.
You're calling him a dullard?
In this capacity, as far as what he was trying to work on, yes.
Football gambling model dullard?
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. It's fair enough. Do you guys have, well, we know Hickman's. He hopes it's Harrison Bailey. Do you guys have one that you're kind of, I don't want to say favoring, but that you.
Whoever just turns the ball over the least.
No, I know, Dave, but like personality-wise or style-wise?
No, I don't.
Like, you would you be more excited if it was Hooker that won the job because he's a dual threat kind of athlete? Same with Milton?
Or no, I'd
do you
be
want a true pocket
there.
Passer?
I mean, there's really only one person I would be like, eh, if they got it.
I think I know who that is.
But no, I don't have a preference.
Like, if Milton were to come in and win the job, I think that would excite me the most because that means that those guys that went through spring, he came in and was just better than they were already.
Mm. I agree with that.
And he's huge. And he's
Cam Newton-esque.
Well, he's the fifth fastest guy on the team that's over like 215 pounds. He's like 250. I mean, the fifth fastest guy being your quarterback at 6'4", 250, and apparently has a rocket arm and an alpha dog mentality, I'd feel pretty good about that. At least at first, until, you know, I watched it and it wasn't very good. But,
yeah.
I mean, we've talked about this. I firmly believe that whoever he starts at quarterback in any given game is the guy he thinks is the absolute best on the team. I don't think that's been the case the last 2 years.
I don't know what's been going on the last 2 years. I don't know who I hope wins it. That's a really good question. Really tough question.
Really? You think it's tough? I don't think
No, I do. I think because Harrison Bailey, even with the new staff, seems to, you know, not take command of the job in practice.
Mm-hmm.
But when he plays, he seems to look a lot better. So I don't know if I may. On the one hand, I almost want to say I hope he gets named the starter, which means maybe he's gotten over kind of that practice hump and he's more of a leader. And it's just like everyone knows that's the deal. But I don't know. Maybe like you, I hope one of the other guys who has more of a different skill set.
What's your take on that in general?
I mean, I haven't seen Milton. Like, I, you know, I mean, I know
you've
what
watched some of his Michigan stuff, right?
Michigan, but
yeah,
and I know what he's, you know, a big guy, but
big strong fast guy.
I don't know what he looks like lately or here or in this offense.
This is a philosophy thing, but whenever it comes to playing, we'll just say any position. How much do you factor in? It's like I realize this guy's a better practice player, but he might not necessarily put it together in the game. Because a lot of coaches, they're just like, you know what, whoever does the best in practice is who we're going to put out there. It's like, well, if the guy who plays well in practice can't do anything in a game, and the guy who just isn't a good practice player lights it up.
Well, that was the JG, like, that was it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Like, he earned it in practice because he knew he couldn't get hit, and he could make all the throws, and he wasn't scared. So, yeah, he's the guy. But then the minute you get in a game and can't do it, you got to go. Like, it's the Nathan Peterman conflict. Like Nathan Peterman in practice, I was there watching. I'm like, dang, this guy's really good. Then you start him against Florida and it was a nightmare.
Yeah, let's table that and come back with it, because I mean it's going to determine much of Tennessee's success or mm-hmm. failure as a team this football season. Hour 2 continues live from the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Fall camp opens in a couple days here on Rocky Top, and the quarterback position will be everything.
Feels like it always is.
Yeah, it always is. Been a while since it wasn't the number one question mark. Who's going to play and how well?
Every year since 2017. No doubt.
Yep. I don't, even after the spring game and spring practice, I just don't feel like I know much about any of these guys. I mean, really. I mean, I was generally impressed with all of their willingness to, you know, throw the ball down the field in the spring game. You know, a lot of times you have a guy who is so concerned with, you know, not wanting to turn it over. And
yeah, don't make the big mistake. Don't make the big mistake.
That they're kind of thinking too much, and they never seem to pull a trigger, and it's just real kind of NFL preseason-esque in spring football. But all the guys seem to come in, know who to check, and they all kind of let it rip. Actually, I'd say Hendon Hooker probably looked the most timid with throwing the football.
I agree.
But, you know, he did take off and run a little bit and showed that dynamic, that aspect of his game.
Do you give, I don't want to say a pass, but like with Pruitt, it was weird because it's like, oh, yeah, he's a defensive guy, so let's wait till he gets his defensive players in here before we grade him on that. I think, is it safe to say the defense got worse every year? Were they maybe slightly better in year two than in year one, but in year three they were just brutal?
Yeah.
With Heupel being an offense guy, and especially quarterbacks, I mean, I know that he went out and got Hooker. Well, actually, I think Hooker was committed before you got Heupel, and he got Milton. But if the quarterback play this year isn't great, do you wait until he can get a guy in here before you, you know, judge him too harshly on quarterback? And I'm assuming is better. It's just not maybe some kind of elite level quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, as long as the quarterback play is not just atrocious.
Well, I don't think it can go backwards.
And it's more not necessarily like does the quarterback make the right play, but can I see the concepts are there, and is the quarterback just maybe from a physical standpoint not able to connect? Mm-hmm. Because if they're working with him from a mental standpoint where it's like he knows where he needs to go with the ball, but he can't necessarily get it there. I'll probably give Heupel a little bit more credit than I would if it's just the quarterback just looks completely lost out there the entire time, which is what we've seen the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, we're very used to that. We'll know what that looks like. I'm still thinking of Milton. Milton would excite me the most because if you're talking about arm strength, it's him. If you're talking about, he's faster. Well, I say that. I don't know what Hooker weighs, but I imagine he's more than 215. But on that, actually, I think maybe Hooker might have actually been the second or third fastest and Milton was fifth. So you got two guys right there that are, you know, top speed is pretty good. Milton might not be as shifty, but if you're looking for kind of the total combination, I mean, we know he has the strongest arm. That's like what everybody says. He can just absolutely hum it.
He looks like he can plow through some guys, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think Heupel could have turned JG around?
I think he could have made him passable. I think JG was always going to be prone to the really bad mistake. And I think that was his Achilles. That was what made him harder and just a nightmare to coach. Is it didn't matter how many things he did right in a row. It was coming. The big just
the oh no, the oblique
yeah,
moment.
I mean, I don't know if you ever tried to play quarterback at all, or anything similar where your brain has to make quick twitch decisions. I mean, we've all had that moment where you just do something and you're like, as soon as it's like happening, you're like, what? Why did I just do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why did I just try and throw that ball there? There was no way that was going to work. Or why did I, you know, whatever. I don't know. If you've ever just played basketball, like you're like, I don't know, trying to like get the ball up against the press, and as soon as you kind of like leave your feet and go to throw a pass, like as soon as it leaves your hand and you see the guy like...
You're running backwards because you know it's turning.
Yeah, you see the defender's just not where you thought he was, or he's already a step ahead of your guy. You know, and just... He just never seemed to be able to conquer that. And I don't think he ever really really would. I mean, I think the only way you can a coach could have handled JG differently would be to put him on a really good team and really not even let him do much.
Mm.
I don't think you're ever going to like turn him loose and have success.
We will see, though, because that's what Washington State's probably going to do.
We will see.
It'll be interesting.
We will be tuned in. I promise you that.
You still got your Wazoo hat, Nate? Or was it a visor?
No, it was a hat.
It didn't. It just didn't fit well.
Kind of like JG here.
Yeah.
Shame.
I think I'm just going to donate it.
Also,
I mean, there's no point now. Like
Leach left, that's why you bought it, right?
That's why I got it.
I know what you're going to get.
I think I'm just going to donate it.
Get you a Coastal visor.
I mean, it's brand new. You know, never really wore the thing.
Coastal Carolina. I don't know if you've seen their apparel, Nate, but it is top notch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all my wardrobe used to be was just half Tennessee gear, half Coastal Carolina gear, because the Coastal gear was crazy.
That was half your wardrobe?
Yeah. Well, I spent a lot of summers at Coastal Carolina, so it's not like I just bought their gear for the heck of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually there a lot.
Who knew? Hickman, big Coastal guy.
Mentioned it before.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was on their campus when they won the College World Series.
I remember that.
National champions.
Thanks to Hickman.
Maybe that is it.
No. You were on campus for a lot of Tennessee games.
Maybe it doesn't work for Tennessee.
Because the curse.
Maybe if I stopped investing. Yeah, I can't counter-react the Nate curse.
That's true. He's got experience on you.
He's got experience.
Right. More power.
And this, the whole South Carolina thing,
Maybe.
I need to become a South Carolina fan.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Well, see, I would sacrifice myself for the greater good of the fan base.
But if you're doing it, then you're...
Well...
If you're doing it for Tennessee, but you're not a fan of Tennessee, for the fan base. Okay, yeah.
I'd still be a fan of Tennessee.
Yeah, you'd be a good guy. Yeah.
Like Nate's still a fan of South Carolina, kind of.
Not as much anymore. Not nearly as much.
Maybe we should just make Davey do that. He doesn't like the Vols anyways.
Yeah.
So what am I supposed to
do? You're a South Carolina fan now. See ya. You like Beamer.
I don't.
You're rooting for him.
Wouldn't you want to?
I mean,
shouldn't he be an Alabama fan? Or a Florida fan? I mean, Georgia. Like, don't we need him to kill off a program that's ahead of us?
Sure.
I've been beaten by him so many times. I don't really feel that hate towards other programs now.
Surely Heupel can just get us past South Carolina on his own, right?
That's what Tennessee's done to me.
We know, Davey.
I am glad that game's not right out of the gate this year, though.
South Carolina game?
Yeah.
Why? We're gonna stomp them anytime we play them this year. They're not good. They're terrible.
I want Heupel to,
have some time,
get some traction.
Okay, yeah.
Bowling Green, that's perfect. Really bad opponent. Get started.
Who scheduled that one?
Brilliant.
We need to go ahead and thank them.
Fulmer.
Certainly.
Would it be Fulmer?
I'll give him some credit then. If he did.
Who did Pitt?
Hell, it might have been Mike Hamilton for all we know. The way these things work nowadays.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Dave Hart.
Any more thoughts on the quarterback situation from you guys before we move on?
Well, what was his original question, though? It was slightly different.
It had to do with, do you play a guy that you
earns
it in practice, or you play the guy that you know is going to give you the best opportunity on a game day?
Well, if you're a good coach, you can make practice more game-like.
This is easy. You play the guy that's better, going to be better in the game as long as he gives full effort in practice. You can't play somebody that just mails it in practice.
I don't think he's saying mails it in.
Yeah, it's not effort, but it's just like, I mean, that's
as long as they
give
full effort, as long as every guy's giving full effort, you play the guy that's best in the game.
Like, I say this, but we know that they've been playing the best practice player.
Well, that's stupid.
Well, that was not this staff, though.
I know it's not. That's why I asked the question, because it's happened for the last two staffs.
Well, that's why I said, I think if you're a good staff, you can make practice more game-like, to where you're not, coddling them, and they realize that a mistake in practice is just as bad as one in a game.
Yeah, but some guys can't handle that.
I know. Yeah. There's always he's a gamer. He's a gamer. Well, in that case, you need to play as many as you can against teams like Bowling Green.
Maybe it's because I was a basketball coach and there's tons of games. So once the game started, it's pretty obvious who you wanted to play at certain spots in games. Yeah. Like I said, the caveat is as long as everybody's giving 100% effort in practice, no, you play the guy, you play the player that's best in the game.
Yeah, I don't feel like this should be a question we have to discuss, but just seeing as where we've been lately, it needs to be brought up.
It's only a question for us Tennessee fans.
The announcement of Tennessee Pitt was made 6 years ago. So who would
that's
that
Dave.
Have been?
It is Dave Hart. Thanks. Shouts out. Oh, that was Pitt, though?
Pitt.
What about Bowling Green? That's who we were talking about. Probably around the same time.
I don't know if there was an announcement for Bowling Green. It might be harder to find.
Mm. Gotcha. But you see what I'm saying, Dave? Like, didn't Pruitt – I mean, they would only thud in practice – mm-hmm. Quarterbacks were always protected, and I don't have necessarily, you know, a big issue with that. But like JG's problem was he didn't want to get hit. Like some quarterbacks are okay with getting hit, so not getting hit in practice is literally just to preserve their health. But then they're not, you know, like Joshua Dobbs was not afraid to get hit in the game. You go back and watch that 2016 Florida game. Every touchdown he threw, he got creamed when he let it go. But of course, they protected him in practice as they should. But JG's issue was he knew he wasn't going to get hit in practice, so he wasn't scared. Apparently looked pretty good, but then in the games he'd hold the ball too long. He'd be, you know, looking around, worried he's going to get hit, not looking at the defense. He was a guy, I just don't think he was properly focused in practice. He knew he couldn't get hit, so he could read the defense, but then you got in games, and he's worried about getting hit, so everything he was good at in practice just disappeared. Because instead of worried about, you know, is my receiver breaking here? Where's the defense? He's looking for, you know, a blitzing linebacker or a end coming around the edge. But if a guy like Milton says, I'm 6'5", 250, I don't care if I get hit. I'm going to be fine. And he's not looking around for pass rushers. Okay, great. Awesome. But you have to, you know, good coaches, I think, can distinguish that. Obviously, I mean... Did Winky not coach running backs when he first got here?
It was running backs. It wasn't receivers.
And then he got moved to quarterbacks coach. And I get he played the game at a high level in college. Okay, but that doesn't mean you're a good teacher of the position.
Mm-hmm.
Heupel has proven he's a pretty damn good teacher of the position.
Wasn't the whole reason for Winky coming just because of his IMG connections?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's just, that work out for if he was such a great quarterback.
We got Jaden Springer.
He was making a joke. I said, how'd that work out for us about getting players? And he said, he got Jaden Springer.
He didn't get Jaden Springer.
I know. It's basketball.
Stupid.
It's a joke.
Moron.
But Jaden went to IMG.
For like a year. I don't even think Winky was there.
It's all about connections.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, if Winky was such a great quarterbacks coach, why didn't we make him quarterbacks coach when he got here? Because he wasn't a great quarterbacks coach. And then we didn't
had Tyson Helton. Duh.
That's the to this day, that will go down as the worst offense I have ever seen. It was so, so bad. Led the country in zero or negative yard gains, correct? Stuff rate, I believe you called it.
Yeah, they made a stat, basically, that year because we were so bad.
So we were the worst
it.
In the nation at that. If I'm not mistaken, when Heupel was at Missouri, they were number one, like, as far as not having negative plays or 0 yard plays. So you got that going for you. Plus, we're a running team anyway, per Josh Heupel.
I'm interested to see how that works out.
Strategy.
I mean, I think it'll be fine.
45% play action.
I mean, I think it'll be fine.
D. Beckwith, the next Travis Henry.
Early in the season, but.
As we've learned, you don't really have to use the run to set up play action now.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Not now. You never did. It was just.
Well, that was the mindset.
No one studied. I mean, think about that. For like 100 years, people just went off of what they thought instead of actually studying, you know, data. It's pretty interesting.
Data.
To pronounce data.
I don't think you get to give pronunciation advice.
Maybe today.
We'll come back with more.
Maybe today.
I'll praise you.
U.S. taking on Japan right now in Olympic baseball. We've all had that dream tie game, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded. Well, on FanDuel Sportsbook, you can get more than one shot to swing for the fences because FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win, and it only gets better from there. Check out FanDuel's new promo live every Tuesday. That's tomorrow on Optimism Tuesday. It's $5 Dinger Tuesdays. Place a $25 or more wager on any player to hit a home run on Tuesday and get a $5 bonus in site credit for every home run hit in the game, max $25. Great deal for you on Tuesdays, FanDuel Sportsbook app. If you haven't taken the plunge yet, do it. We love the FanDuel app. You will as well. Been loving the Olympic betting, and of course, Major League Baseball happens you know, pretty much every day, all the time, day and night. So there's tons of time to get in on the action with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use. Great odds, different betting markets, fun bet types, same game parlays, always on promotions, and they pay you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Download and use our promo code 3OUT to sign up. That's 3-O-U-T to sign up for the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Make it happen. We love it. You will too. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only for the risk-free bet. Refund and bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. To the phone lines we go. We got Jay up next. What's up, Jay? You're on 3 and Out.
Guys, good morning.
Morning, Jay.
So, guys, what do y'all think about, you was talking about the quarterback and things like that. What do y'all think about this this offense? I mean, just overall, I mean, do you think it's a gimmick? Do you think it's going to be a potent offense, something you can win with, you know, at a high level in this league? Obviously, talent matters, but, you know, what we're doing or what Heupel is planning on doing, not a lot of people do, so. I was just kind of wondering what y'all thought about this.
Well, I think more people in the SEC are doing this type of thing now.
I mean, think the only gimmicky part of it is the speed between plays, yeah. Like trying to snap them fast. Yeah. I don't think the offense itself is a gimmick. Like if they huddled up and ran the same plays, just not at the pace, I think it would look like Nate said, a lot like what other teams are running right now.
The problem is always when you're trying to challenge the big boys in the SEC, can you hold up front with your offensive line? And then when you go on defense, can your defensive line be disruptive? And, I mean, we see Alabama throw the ball over the place right now. LSU won the national championship throwing the ball. I mean, this system is slightly different than those from a where you're trying to attack the football field, but it's the same concept of trying to isolate defenders into one-on-one matchups, create space, and then, you know, get the ball down the field where your guy can make the catch. And actually, LSU with Burrow, they took advantage of a lot of stuff over the middle with the RPOs, but they threw the ball down the sidelines a lot that year where their offense was just insane. Mm. So I think I don't think you'll say, this scheme just doesn't work in the SEC. I think the problem will be if you can't protect enough to let your skill guys then play, or are you too thin at some of the skill positions, like if teams can just kind of like always shade help to Jalin Hyatt and no one else really can win their one-on-one against good teams, you could have trouble there. And then, of course, on the defensive side, if you can't get pressure, then other teams might carve you up. I think those are the questions. I think I'm fine with the scheme and the way the quarterbacks are trying to take advantage of the defense.
I think one thing that maybe is promising with offensive line is he does seem to be recruiting some big guys already, 300-plus pound guys. He's not doing like what Butch did and is trying to get tight ends and, you know, put 60 pounds on them to make them a offensive line lineman. He's already getting big guys, but you know, I forgot where I heard this, but one thing I heard is that this guy on YouTube, he breaks down other people's offenses, and he was breaking down UCF's offense under Heupel, and basically he was talking about how they don't really like to attack the middle of the field, and This is going to drive my old man crazy if that's true, because he's basically every coach that comes here, he says nobody uses the middle of the field, and it drives him nuts. But
he might not like this.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering, does he not – does this Heupel – I wonder if that is true. Does he really not use the middle of the field? And if so, why not? I don't understand why more people – LSU did that beautifully, like Nate said. I don't understand why more people don't.
Based on what was that heat chart we watched? It's not so much the middle, it's the deep middle that Heupel likes. It's the he tries to throw it beyond where the linebackers would be. He's just trying to get it in space. So like the cluttered areas, you know, you think of a 4-3 defense, the cluttered area is going to be right in front of the quarterback, and then it frees up once you get beyond the linebackers. So his goal is to push receivers beyond the linebackers and force them to, you know, drop and help coverage, and then that opens up running lanes. And if they, you know, stay in to stuff the run, you RPO over the top of their head. It's just like, I don't think you're going to see a lot of, you know, slants where you're throwing over the head of the, you know, guard and the tackle, but you might see deep, you know, posts, deep 15 yard ins, like that type of stuff.
Well, I read where when he got let go from Oklahoma, which, you know, if you read, there's still some hard feelings about that with him, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He supposedly, the Art Briles Baylor offense, he really kind of revamped, and what he was doing at Oklahoma, maybe switched, you know, that Art Briles Baylor offense really influenced him, and he kind of changed a lot of things he did, and I think that's where he gets a lot of the influence for this current offense.
It seems like he's grabbed from all over the place, really.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the Mike Leach stuff. I don't know. I've read different things. I read that he wanted to throw it around a little bit more, but Stoops was worried about his defense, so he asked him to run it a little bit more. Because in his last 2 years, their rushing numbers went up, and their passing numbers went down. So total offense went down, but they were using more clock, and I guess he was unhappy with that. And then that was around the time where Oklahoma's defense just wasn't very good at all. And so I think the offensive coordinator got blamed, because instead of scoring, you know, 44 points a game, you're only scoring 35 points a game, but the problem is the defense was giving up, you know, 38, 42, something like that. I mean, it dropped in his last 2 years, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't to a number where, like, Jeremy Pruitt or something averaging 19 points a game. But then they went and got Lincoln Riley, and I think their defense improved a little bit, and, you know, they had great success.
Yeah.
He was very disappointed with the way that whole situation went down.
Yeah. Lincoln added about a touchdown more, or 7 points more the season after Heupel left.
I'd be curious to look at their defensive numbers while Heupel was there, and then what it was like the next two, when, like, was the defense, did the defense also get better, or did the defense get worse under Heupel and then better in the first year under Lincoln? I'd be fascinated to know.
Well, I say this, you know, if he beats Lane Kiffin this year, I mean, he's already like 3-1 or 4-1 against Lane Kiffin. He beats Lane Kiffin this year, I don't want to hear no more talk about Lane Kiffin being this great head coach or UT fans wanting Kiffin over Heupel or whatever, because, I mean, at that point, it'll be pretty clear who's the better head coach.
I'll say if he beats Lane Kiffin and Tennessee has a better year than Ole Miss. I mean, if he beats Ole Miss, that's like his one big upset, but we're pretty god-awful in the rest of the games, and Ole Miss, that's their, like, one bad loss, and they're really good. I mean, but your premise holds, and I think most people just have to agree with that. Thanks for the call, Jay. I appreciate it. That's going to be fascinating, because Lane Kiffin is, he's never really won big anywhere. I mean, I like him. I think he's a really good coach. That's just more from watching how he operates and what he does. Obviously, as a coordinator, he won big at Alabama, but being the head man, you know, this is kind of, he's going to get into some years here to prove it at Ole Miss, and not that he's got to, like, win the SEC, but if he gets Ole Miss in a position where they're battling for the top of the West, I mean, that would kind of prove that. So he's definitely on our list of guys we got to watch as Tennessee fans.
Got a bunch of guys to watch.
final segment, hour number two. Oh, Depot coming up. Dave, you ready? Birthday edition of the Depot?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Could be good.
Yep. Could be.
Could be. All eyes going to be on the Tennessee quarterback battle. What's, if you were handicapping the odds, what you got it at? Not for what you want it to be or what you think it should be, but how, you know, how you'd set it if you got to make sure that your sports book comes out on top.
Ooh.
For what?
That's a good question. I don't know. Obviously, that's
you're setting the odds for who starts game one for Tennessee.
Assuming I'm getting a lot of money on the books from Tennessee fans, and I feel a lot of them believe that it's going to be Harrison Bailey.
I do too.
So I would probably put the odds maybe Bailey at like minus 150 and then have Milton at like plus 110, Hendon Hooker like plus 250, and like Brian Maurer like plus 300.
Sure.
Granted, I just did that all in my head and have no idea how that would turn out if I were to actually look at it.
No, we won't hold that against you.
I think in the eyes of the public, Harrison Bailey's probably the starter.
What do you think of the coaching staff? I know they're trying to probably flush their mind of really anything and like kind of look at it again with new intel. But, I mean, they still have to count what they've seen before as well.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think I always thought as a coach it was really hard to evaluate a player that you know, if you've seen one player for say four practices and you've seen, you know, the other two, three players at a position for, you know, 40 practices, it was always really hard to compare. Cuz sometimes when you see the newer player, it's kind of like when you start dating somebody, and at first they're perfect, and then you start kind of, you know, the more you get to know them, you kind of learn their flaws, and then you kind of have to determine if you can love them and their flaws, or if
the answer's always been no.
If that's the end, if it's just not going to work out. So you can have some of that kind of that new bias because you haven't seen the kid make mistakes before, or you haven't seen how they react when. In really tough situations, or even get in tough situations. And I think it's harder now than it used to be because the quarterbacks just, they get so protected. You know, you don't want to get them hurt, so it makes sense. But at the same time, you know, you want to have to see them play in front of some, you got to try and test how they're going to react. And I think the best coaches in college football right now are ones that can have a good feel for how that's going to go. They have a good feel for how guys that they've never seen playing a game are going to react when they get in a game. And I think the best quarterback coaches these days have simplified offenses to the point, or at least not really the whole offense, but simplify what the quarterback has to do so they can, you know, make decisions quickly and just execute. I mean, gone are the days of the massive three-ring binder that the quarterback's got to have all memorized and, you know, check
in some places.
Well, places that are certainly good.
So I broke it down, Dave.
Okay.
That was fast.
I did my best.
Mm-hmm.
In Heupel's 4 years as offensive coordinator, I want to make sure I get this right. Looks like Oklahoma lost. Oh, I do. We only have a minute. This is going to take more than a minute. I better not even get started.
Oh, no.
I was trying to see of the losses while he was at offensive coordinator, how many were due to a bad offensive performance where, you know, you just didn't have it on offense, or mm-hmm. was it your defense clearly just gave up too many points and you still performed pretty well offensively? And then I did the same with Lincoln Riley. It's fascinating. There's a lot more that would go into this, though, because I would also want to see how many games did you win the shootout against, you know, maybe a team the year before that they won the shootout or that blasted you because you didn't show up offensively. It's pretty interesting, though.
All right. Well, the Depot's next. We'll come back with more college football, Tennessee football talk after that. You don't want to miss Davey's Depot.
The birthday Depot.
Birthday edition.
Birth Depot. birthday, Poe. Yeah.